But I just want to talk this morning about how, about faith that develops us. And I'm talking about this because I think it's important that we grasp a hold of sometimes some very basic truths in the Word of God when we are stepping into new things. Because, you know, if the basic foundation things aren't right, then we find ourselves in a place of uncertainty. We find ourselves in a place where we are a bit scared, a bit frightened, not sure whether we want to step into some things. Fear starts to come in, you know. And so I just thought I'd speak on some of these things this morning. And I'm going to sort of do a bit of a reverse. I'm going to take the end of a chapter first, and then I'm going to go back to the start of a chapter. So we're just going to start with Romans chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 8, and it says this: "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. So God, by his great love, sent Christ to die for us so that we are no longer under any form of condemnation from God. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. So this is good news, that God sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Now we know this, and we get taught this a lot in church. For some of you, it might be a wee bit new. But he died for all of our sins so that they would be forgiven, so that we can come to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I repent. I ask you into my heart as my Lord and my Savior, and I want to serve you. It's a pretty simple step, but it has a big meaning. And there is a lot of faith that needs to be attached to this. Because we've got to believe that what we're declaring and what the scripture is saying are actually coming to pass. And actually are truth. And that God actually means what he says in his word. And that we, through accepting Jesus as a Lord and Savior, now have relationship restored. And we have this friendship and this relationship that is, you know, like brother, brother, father, son, whatever way you want to have it, with God, with Jesus, so that we can now talk and communicate at a level where we can respect one another and be open and honest and understand and have confidence and have trust, you know, and all of these things. And so it's important that we can grab a hold of this. And then it says, I'm just reading verse 1 again. So now we can rejoice. Sorry, not verse 1. Verse 11. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. So we have this relationship now that we can develop, that we can grow. Every relationship needs to develop and grow. We fall in love. We look into our wife, our girlfriend, our fiance's eyes, and vice versa. And we go, wow. And our heart melts, and we think it's amazing. And then we get married, and then we find all these things that we don't like. You see? And we can say, I love you. And we can say to God, I love you. But then the relationship kicks in. And it's like, you know, tidy up your mess. So God says, there's a few things you need to change. We got to tidy up our mess, you see. And it doesn't mean, well, I don't like you anymore, which seems to come out of our mouth every now and then in our relationship. But as we grow, we will begin to respect one another. And we begin to understand one another. And we begin to understand that true love actually cares. And the Bible says, faithful are the words of a friend. So we have this friendship now with God. We have this friendship now through the blood, through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. We now have this friendship. We are made friends of God. And so God comes sometimes and he speaks to us about some things, and we need to receive them and allow them to sit in our heart so that our relationship and our friendship can continue to grow. And so that we can build upon what has already been established through the death of Jesus. And so it's a very basic teaching, but I'm going to take us somewhere in the same passage. So we have this relationship now that we can develop, a friendship, so that we can form a trust. You know, as you spend time in a relationship, you form a trust. And you just know, start to know what, okay, I've did this, I know what the response is going to be. I know what they're going to say. Sometimes you might butter your toast. Well, you already know, or you might butter your husband or your wife's toast. You know what they're going to have on their toast, what they like on their toast. You know the things that they like to eat. You know the things they like to do. So there's these things where you start to understand one another's hearts. A confidence begins to grow because of this relationship and this friendship, you know, that now you know that they'll be there for you, that you can lean on them, that if you're in trouble or you need to talk, that you have this confidence with them. And an understanding suddenly begins to transpire, where you know one another's hearts, where you begin to know one another's thoughts. This is what developing this relationship is all about. For some of us, this might seem a bit basic, but I want us to understand that without this, faith cannot grow. Faith cannot even become evident. And so we're going to talk about faith that develops us. If we can't fully grasp and understand the relationship that Jesus Christ has given us with the Father and with himself, with the whole Godhead, and how much or to what degree we can come into the unity and the togetherness of that relationship, it's hard to step into faith. It's hard to take a hold of some of the things that God asks of us and requires of us and actually even declares in his word. Because everything takes faith in God, because it moves outside our natural reasoning at times, our own ability to actually fulfill things, to actually even be in control of some situations when they are too big for us, when there is actually no answer in the natural possible for the situation that we're in. Our faith in God will actually enable God to come in and intervene in that situation. That's when we get miracles. That's when we get healings. That's when we get divine encounters. That's when we get all sorts of things that are unexplainable that happen in life. Jesus is saying, this is what I bring to our relationship and our friendship. Confidence. Assurity. Trust. So it's important that we can receive and believe these scriptures. Now if we go back to the start of this chapter, in verse 1 it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Here we see the first stage of the significance of faith. Faith is believing what you can't see in the natural. So we have been made right in God's sight. Now you have things that will come into your mind that say, I've been bad this week. I have not done some things that have been right this week. I should have done some other things. There's some things that I'm struggling with. You know, there's maybe some things that we've said, whatever. And here we are now standing before God or listening to his word and thinking, well, I don't actually feel good about myself. But Jesus Christ has said, I've died for you. And I have restored you to the Father, and I've brought you in a right relationship, and I know you're going to struggle, and I know you're going to fall, and I know you're going to fail, but I want you to come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy and grace to help in that time of need. And so There's no condemnation there. The way is stayed. The relationship is still there. It's like sometimes you have to apologize to your husband or your wife for some of our behavior. Sometimes with their friendship. We can have a good friend and then we get really angry and we say some things we shouldn't say. Doesn't mean the friendship's finished. You see, it just means we've gone through a difficult patch. And so where we now have to apply faith just to accept that we're still in right standing with the Lord regardless of our week. It's like we come back and we say, whoopsie, Lord, I slipped up. There's forgiveness. And when forgiveness happens, which happens immediately when you ask for it, God says, I remember it no more. Now, we struggle with that in our head because people remind us of things that we've done in the past, good or bad. We have memories. And our memories are really good at hanging on to negative things. But God says, I remove them as far as the east is from the west. So how far is that? It's gone. It's like you can't see it because they're opposites. It's like they're gone. It's like even if you want to get it back, you can't because it's gone for infinite. He says, I bury them in the sea of forgetfulness. I remember them no more. I blot them out. Have you ever blotted something out? It's like now you can't see it. I was removing graffiti off our church and off our windows and it hadn't come off the sign so well. This morning I was out there trying all sorts of stuff, scrubbing our walls and different things. But when you blot something out, it's gone. Now that takes faith when it comes to us doing bad things. I'm talking about basic, but I'm going to talk about some of these things because we're coming into and God wants us to step into some new things. And some of the new things that we're going to step into, we need people around us. This year I want to push more so than ever connect groups. I want us to be part of a connect group. The reason is because when you're part of a connect group, you have people that challenge you and you have people who encourage you. And you need that, I'm telling you. You need that. When you've had a bad week, you need someone to be able to say to you, look, this is what the scripture says. I hear what you're saying, but this is what it says. And just reinforce the word of God in your heart. Or maybe they might just bring something that they feel God's put on their heart. Sometimes you feel something. You know, when I was fishing, and I was fishing away and I was watching all these people and they're all using certain lures and they're using live baits and shrimps because I went on the canals, but I thought, I'm just going to go way up. We stopped off this place for a few days. So I thought, I'm trying out this new rod and new reel. You know, and I felt the Lord say, Wayne, I want you to put on these rubbery fish things that you use down at Wanaka. They're different to the ones that these live bait gulp things or whatever they use it up around Twizel. It's got hooks all over it and, you know, this special tail on it and different things. And Wayne Ward and I, a minister down at Thing, we have these things that we've bought. We use them in certain places, you see. And so I've got this rod from Johan, this flexi, extremely expensive rod, which then I had to go and buy an extremely expensive reel to fit it. I went into Hunting and Fishing. It's like, I want a reel to match this rod. He said, where'd you get this rod from? So I said, okay. So I've got this basically $1,000 setup. And it's just like, and so I don't use it on a boat. I don't use it anywhere. I'm going to put it to the test. But I felt the Lord say to me, use this like really, really strong. And so I just pull out this fish, first cast, bang. For the rest, 3 nights that we were there, I would just go out at night, actually. It was just, in fact, I just wait. And when you catch a big fish, everybody wants to know and they hear. Nobody was really catching any fish at all, period. So when they know, it's just like, where did he catch that, you see? And word spreads really quick. And so they follow this Granvia van, you see, and they know. It's just like, there he is. That's where he is. He's up there. He's caught this fish, you see. So suddenly you have hundreds of people all around. In fact, my wife up there, there's all these people. So at 10 o'clock at night, when it's just getting dark, you know, sometimes there's a handful of people there, one or two, or then there'll be none. And it's just like, and then from 10 to 12, I'd catch all of these fish. You see? And then people begin to say, right, he's still here. I'm staying here. Because he's catching all of these fish. I've caught some of the biggest fish in my... they are the biggest fish I've ever caught in my whole life. I caught heaps of them. And I just used these lures. And I was like, I wanted to put all these other ones on. And I went out one morning to try something a bit different. But I just felt God say to me, just use it. So that's all I did. So I just sat there when nothing was happening. I just sat there. It's like you're going to move away. And it's just like, and I struggled to get this lure. Well, you just couldn't get it on the bottom because it was so swift and whatever. And so, but I just stayed there. And next minute, bang. Next minute, bang. You know, and it's just, and so sometimes God just speaks to you. And if you let it go, you see, then you've missed something. And I'm saying this because sometimes when you're in a home group and a connect group, God puts something on, even that day he put something on your heart. And you feel sometimes it is for people. Ever had that? But if you don't go to the group, you don't give it to the person. If you're not there and you're not around it, sometimes you might be in a connect group and then someone says, you know, I just feel this. Is this for you? Is this for someone? Da, 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 da. And next minute, bang, inside of you says, yeah, I've actually got that same word. I've got that same feeling. I can identify with that. If you're not there, you're not learning to hear how the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. And sometimes you'll hear someone else bring something and it's like, I identify with that because I was feeling the same thing. You see, we have to be around faith for faith to grow. We need to be in an environment of faith. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I can go to church on Sunday and it's all good. And if we don't have a great service, well, that's it. You know, it's just, I know God loves me or whatever. But we're fighting and we're dealing and we get grumpy and we get frustrated and we're striving and we're not happy and different things are kicking into force. All because we're listening to things inside our head that aren't true. Yeah. And we're battling with things that actually someone else could come along and encourage us in. Or we could sit around and read the Word of God and come away refreshed. I mean, I love connect groups behind prayer meetings. Because I come away so encouraged and so strengthened. Always. You got to get in. It's like, and there's times, like I can be out every night of the week. Because there is 3 prayer meetings every week in Darfield alone. Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So it only leaves me Tuesday and Thursday as not nights to go out. And I've got other things on. They're not just, so sometimes, you know, you just think, oh, no, it's just really hard. You know, just like you're tired and you drag your feet out to the car, you know. But when I come back ping. I come back refreshed. I come back alive. And, you know, sometimes we know the right things, but we don't exercise the faith that is needed to step into where we need to be. And we let other things say you're too tired and you're too busy. We sometimes have to shift priorities. I guarantee you that some of you will have some plans this year and different things. And you will make room and make sure everything moves around so that these things come to pass. So we say we're too busy, but we always make room for the things that are important. And it's just a matter of how important is your relationship? How important is this friendship? You know, and we neglect something that actually gives us the most peace. Verse 1, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done. You know, this peace is the biggest thing. I know we go through a lot of things and we talk about a lot of spiritual things, but you need peace. There's nothing worse than frustration, anger, striving, feelings of shame, failure, and everything else. But when peace comes in, every one of those voices is silenced. Every one of those voices is silenced. It's the wonderful thing about peace. It speaks to everything and tells it to be quiet. It disempowers every negative thought and feeling that comes to distract and rob you. Peace does. Sometimes when I'm praying, and I've got a lot of things on my mind, then I just kneel down. You don't have to kneel down. You can be wherever you are in your work. But I just begin to speak to God. Tell him wonderful things, how I'm feeling, whatever I need to do. And I'll just repeat it and repeat and repeat it until everything else is shut out. I just got to focus on and just let peace come. And then when there's nothing there, sometimes I will just sit there and say nothing for however long. Half an hour, whatever. Say nothing. Sometimes I'll talk a wee bit and then nothing. Because God needs peace sometimes so that he can speak to you. God needs silence sometimes so that he can communicate with you. And in the midst of all the busyness, and I'm not saying God doesn't, because God actually speaks in the midst of busyness and different things. But I'm just saying, you know, since we have this relationship now, by faith, we have peace. If there isn't peace in your heart, then we actually have to apply some scripture by faith to shift the noise. And it's really big. And sometimes when we are struggling with this, we just need to be in a group or around some people that are talking spiritual things so that we can hear and our spirit hear it and these things can be shifted. Because we need faith to believe what the scripture is saying. We need faith to quieten everything else down and to shift everything. So here we see the first sign of the significance of faith. Faith is believing what you can't see in the natural. So it's like, we can't see God. We don't know how God, would it be nice to see his face, see where he's grumpy, happy, whatever. You know, we can't, it's like, we just got to believe that God is there and that God has forgiven us, that God is, you know. And if we are struggling with all of that, then we don't really believe it. But faith believes, faith sees, faith takes a hold of those things which aren't seeable, which aren't possible. Faith takes a hold of them and implements them into our spirit so that they begin to dictate to our natural man, our natural desires, the things that are going on around us. It begins to dictate. So that in the midst of all of this turmoil, and we hear stories, Jesus is on the boat, in the boat, the storm is on the sea, the disciples are terrified, Jesus is asleep in the boat. Why? Because he has peace in his heart. Everything's going on around. Jesus says, in the world you're going to have trials and tribulations. Exciting words. But be of good cheer, I've overcome them. So you can be in the midst of trials and tribulations, but God's peace, the peace that passes all understanding, prevails in your heart. Because you have this confidence that you're in right standing, that God is in control. You have this relationship now that you, with Jesus Christ. And because of this relationship, you know that regardless of everything that's going on, he's in control. I mean, I've had a frustrating week with my phone, but when my phone died, it's just like, well, you know what I said to the Lord? It's like, well, the phone's died. It's just like, okay, you're bigger than the phone. It's like, this isn't going to worry me. You know, it was a pain. We get problems all the time. We get things that come all the time. And yes, we have to work through them, and we're going to see this in a minute. But it does something inside of us. So we need the basics first. We've just read how God sent his son to make us righteous and brought us back into a right relationship. We have to believe that. But we have to exercise faith to believe it. Therefore, since we have such been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. Peace means no shame, no striving, no frustration or guilt robbing us from being close. It means God's my friend. He's going before me. He's watching out for me. He believes in me. He loves me dearly. Regardless of what you've done, been involved in, anything else, God's going before you. And the peace of God speaks that into your heart. It's okay. Oh, I'm going to lose everything. It's okay. I've worried a lot, especially when I was younger. Wake up in the morning, absolutely feel like a bus has run over me. Backed over me and over me again, a few times actually. You know, it's like you're not even thinking, you feel brain dead, whatever. You've stressed and worried all night and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. It actually changes nothing. So you get up, you might as well have slept like a log because nothing has changed. That's why I love Matthew 6, you know, and right at the end there he says, you know, sufficient are the problems of that day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Its problems will be there for tomorrow. Sufficient are that. It's like, don't be worrying. He says, I know you have need of all of these things. The Gentiles, the ungodly people. I know you have all need of all of these things. You know, in that same passage, and I was sharing this up at Darfield a while ago, it talks about the lily of the valley, or just the lily. God says, you know, I want you to consider the lily. It's just a flower. Because Solomon and all of his wisdom was not as great or as grandeur or as one of these. Now, it's not saying Solomon, it's saying the wisdom of Solomon. Everything that Solomon built, it was, and there was a lot of that wisdom, or all that wisdom, was given by God. And he built things that the whole world come and marveled at. He established things and done things so that people were so impressed that his kings came and sat at his feet. In the reign of Solomon, it says the streets were piled up with silver because it didn't have any value. Never has there been or since, before or since, been such wealth in any one nation that silver was piled up in the streets. God was blessing a nation. The grandeur and everything that Solomon was doing, and yet Jesus says, I want you to look at the valley, at the lily. You see, God creates something that is amazing and beautiful. And man tries to build and do things, but it has no value eternally. God's saying, you know, I want you to consider the lily, because Solomon, in all of his wisdom and all his grandeur, was not as one of these. See, God looks at things totally different. It's like, so we put so much time and effort into building amazing and trying to achieve amazing things, and God says, what's that all about? He says, you know, I know you have need of things. Now, I'm saying this because I want our faith to be in God. It's like he says, I know what you need, but you don't add one hair to your head. I know every sparrow. I know you need clothing. I know you need food. I know all the things you need. I know the things you have, you need, the things you desire. I know all of these things. But he says, if you seek me first, my kingdom and me, my righteousness and my kingdom, all of these things will be added unto you. So what's the most important thing, really? Say, well, I want all of these things in life. It's like, well, if you want them, seek the kingdom of God first. Now, that takes faith, because it's easier to go out and make some money than it is to trust God. I'm not saying we all quit work, but what I'm saying is sometimes God does things backwards. See, that's why prayer is so important. And we can work really hard at saving souls, or we can pray. Now, we need both. We need to go out and be witnessing. But if we're not praying, we're not in a place where we're asking and requiring of God, then we don't get. And, you know, every revival and every church that's doing exceptionally well has this amazing prayer that's working for them. And prayer is really important. And you need to be prayed for by people in your connect group. You need to be prayed for. We need to be praying for one another. You need to pray for somebody else. You need to see God actually do some amazing things. You think, well, I just prayed that, and this is what happened. It's like, wow, that's amazing. And you didn't feel spiritual. You didn't feel all this tingling. And yet, God answered a prayer. Talk to James. James has seen some of this last year, 2018. Up here sharing and testifying. It's like, well, I don't know, pray for this guy. He needs some help here. It's like, well, we don't really know what we're doing, but we're going to deliver you. See, God does things. He just wants people who want to believe that he can do what he said he will do. And we go by feelings, and we go by, oh, I'm not feeling, I'm in a good place. You see, what this passage of Scripture is saying, what Paul's talking about, is it's about faith. The very foundation is about faith, that Jesus has done this. And so by faith, we need to move on, because I want to get the things here, and we need to be finished. So quickly. So it takes faith to believe these things. Our mission statement is invite and part and power. That means that we have to invite people. I'll have these set up here shortly and out in the foyer. That means that we have to invite people to experience this truth. We have to walk with them and impart it into their spirit. We have to empower them to exercise their own faith to believe what the Scripture says is true. We've got to grow people and grow ourselves. We've got to have people walk with us and grow us. You know, there's a lot of work involved walking with one person who's found Jesus. This year I want us to embrace, as I said, the connect groups. I want us to embrace this invite and part and power. Inviting people to be part of your life. Imparting what you have and having other people impart into you. Empowering one another, because we've got to step into new. Things in our life don't change until we are challenged and our priorities change. And so it takes trials and testing sometimes to shift us out of that. If you want to grow your faith, if you want to step into a fresh encounter, get amongst some people that have the same heart and desire. Learning to embrace some new concepts. Get to a home group. You might hear some things you might not always agree with. You might be challenged in some things. It's good for us. Don't fight and try and control everything. If you're going home and say, well, I've been in a battle today, it's like at home group. Have a look at your heart and think, what am I trying to fight? What am I battling with here? It means being challenged, but also believed in and supported. It means strengthening people around us. Never underestimate a word that God puts in someone's heart for you. I've got to go away shortly down south for a few days. Wanaka and a few churches down there to do presbytery and that for a few nights and days. So I've got that coming up, and it's always exciting to do a lot of those sort of things. I haven't given myself to do those things while I've been up here because I've been busy, but some people are chasing me a wee bit, so I have said I will do some of these things. But it's good to speak and to bring God's word into some hearts and lives. I want to get on to number two. Because of our faith, verse 2, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Wow, that's big. Probably too much for most Christians. Because of our faith, so without faith, we don't have this, but because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. Undeserved privilege means you can never earn what God has given you. Inheritance, relationship, sonship, daughtership, his own name. You're called a son and daughter of God. You're part of his family. You are his friend. He has given you all that is his. He has given unto you, like the prodigal son story. He's restored that all to you. Now we stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward. We confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Most Christians cannot handle the fact that we can share God's glory. Wow, the glory of God's too much. Like, we're talking about God's glory now. It's really important. Second part of importance of faith is recognizing that everything we have has been given to us, undeserved. Takes faith. Takes faith. Okay, God has given this to me. It's a privilege. It's a gift. We didn't deserve it. While we were yet sinners, God loved us, gave his son for us. We were restored. Basic, get it in our heart. This is undeserved privilege, but you've got it. It's yours. God loves you. You're in this place. The only person who is removing you out of this relationship and making you feel bad is yourself. That's the only person. The only person who feels that they're a failure. The only person who feels that they're not worthy enough is you. It's not God. God's saying, you are. I love you. I love you. Regardless, I don't care. It's like, here's my grace. Here's my grace. Let my grace. What is a grace? Grace is that is everything that is God, and it's undeserved or anything else, but it actually comes on our life so that what God feels and thinks toward you is what influences our heart. Divine influence upon the heart. That's grace. Divine influence upon the heart. So God's grace says, I don't care if you feel stink and you feel you're a failure and you feel everything else. My grace says, you are worthy and I love you and I'm believing in you. That's what God's grace says. And see, so that's why he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. It's like, so undeserved or whatever, it's like, so our feelings say this, these thoughts say this, God's grace says the opposite. So we want that on our life. It's an undeserved privilege, but we've got to have that. Now, that takes faith. Because you say, yeah, but I've done wrong. It's like, believe what God... Don't say, God, I know what you're saying, but it's not true. It's like, that's offensive and rude to God. We are so rude to him because he believes in us. And I understand, like, I've had to walk through this. Like, we get really low at times, you know, because we just don't feel we're measuring up and we push. I mean, I'm quite a driven person, so I have high expectations of myself. And sometimes that works against you, you know, when you feel you're not visually achieving sometimes what you want or what you think you should be able to do. And you just got to rest in what God is saying to you. But it's really important. So it's undeserved. And now, and that we confidently and joyfully, now look forward to sharing God's glory. Now, the Bible says no flesh will glory in God's presence. So God's not going to share his glory with flesh, but he is with the spirit man who actually walks in the flesh, or who lives in the flesh. So we have the spirit man and we have this flesh part of our side of our life. And if we can let the spirit man dominate, so God, it says in a scripture that got come up there, 1 Corinthians 1:27, 29. He talks about there that God chooses the very basic and the simple things, the people who are not clever, the people who don't know how to do things, the people who aren't brainy enough, skillful enough. I choose all them to confound all the wisdom and all the strengths of the world has to offer. And he does that to prove that it is him and not flesh that achieves things, because he says no flesh will glory. And so God wants you to do amazing things, but he wants to do it through you. So he strips us down sometimes, or we feel we're being stripped down, so he can use us to do things. If you not feel that you're not good and capable of doing some things, then you're right in the right place for God to use you. But that again takes faith, because you think, yeah, I can't do this. Like, there's just some things I'm not good at. My wife can do things. Like, she's got me writing things and doing things and joining up with this thing, leadership world thing, whatever, da-da-da, with Bethel and a few others. And we got all these interviews, got to go through, and da-da-da. It's like, man, I despise all of this. You know, I just like, say, Nikki, it just drives me nutty. I am not born for this, you see. So I run away from it. I don't commit to these sort of things because I don't want that sort of work, you see. But my wife's dragging me into it. She sits there and she says to me, it's like, just stop, just say, right. She says, this is, I've written out your testimony, okay? This is your testimony. And I say, no, that's not right. Just write this. I said, I'll write all the stuff. So don't write all that dumb stuff. Just say this. She said, that's not a proper testimony, but your proper testimony. So she writes out my testimony for me, and because all the stuff's got to be put in, gets all these people's references, you know, from upline ministers and different stuff, and, you know, all that. And it's just like, I can't be bothered with any of this stuff. So she's writing all this stuff, and stuff's coming back, you see, and it's like, yeah, I've got no idea what I've written. And she says, no, senior pastor has to sort of write. It's like, you have to do it, and then I'm attached to you. It's like, okay, this is going to be interesting. Anyway, we have an interview, Skype interview, which is going to be interesting. I need to wise myself up to what I've said. So I hate some of these things, you see. But see, you have to trust God when he says, because he speaks things over our lives. And you say, I don't see how that can happen. If he says it, it's because that's what he has in plan for you. Now, I just need to finish off here. And so it says, you know, that we need to rejoice in and have confidence in that he wants to share his glory. I mean, that's an amazing privilege. And we just say, no, that can't happen. It's like, yes, he can. Because it's what the father did to the prodigal son. He took this garment, and his garment, and he clothed him. God takes his glory, and he clothes you with it. You say, no, I've been in a pig's pen. I'm filthy. I'm not worthy to be called your son and all that. And he takes his garment and he puts it on him. And I'm clothing you with this righteousness and with this garment. With what is mine, I'm giving to you. I'm clothing with you. See, he wants to share. And we can have this confidence. This is very basic, okay? This is the most basic stuff. But we struggle that we are worthy enough to believe that. To receive that. Now, the last bit, because this is a bit really the only thing I really wanted to say today. All of that to say, we can rejoice too. Say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Right, so we can rejoice in verse 3 and 4. Yes, we've got to get this so you can read it. When we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. This is where faith steps in again. Okay, this is the basics. But what it's saying here, Paul is saying, you know, so now we can rejoice when we run into problems. You see, what it's saying is here, we don't avoid problems. We can rejoice because they're actually working some things in us. Problems help us to endure. It means problems help us press through. Sometimes we're trying to push through in some things and to grow. We need a problem. Because when the problem comes, we press into Jesus. And we say, Lord, I am really struggling with them. Help me with this, da, 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 da. If we didn't have the problem, we would not press through. We would not build our relationship. We would not go to the extent. You know, when calamity happens around family, and we just heard with Sam, what happens? Family comes together. Family strengthens. You see, there's a bond that happens. You go through crisis. Husband and wife says, we're gonna see this through. Something happens in our relationship with one another that strengthens us. You see, a marriage that goes through no difficulties is a weak marriage. I mean that. It's like, you know, sometimes when I got married, I wanted all this money and I set up everything and whatever. I've worked for what I've got and I appreciate what I've got. And it has made our marriage stronger and appreciative of what we've got. It's the same in Christianity. It enables you to press in, you know, and then you realize, and then you've got a testimony. Someone comes and talks to you, and yeah, if you just said, oh, you know, God just did all this for me and I've done nothing. I just walk around, God just blesses me all the time, and this happens for me, and this happens for me. Oh, how did that happen? Oh, I've got no idea. Well, see, there's no testimony in that, because you've done nothing. God says, now, here I've fluffed over you, and you become a new Christian, you feel that, but now it's time to grow up. Take the dummy out of your mouth, take the milk out of your mouth, and start to feed yourself. Amen. That's called faith. You see, faith we only grow when we now apply the scripture. So now God's not all making us fluffy, and we're feeling all stinking, whatever, and we read the scripture, and it says, you know, that we can have confidence that God's going to help us through these situations. It's like, okay, God's going to have, it's like, I need to stand now. I need to grow up, and I need to stand, and I need to press in and believe God that He's going to come through for me. You see, now we're starting to grow. Our faith's starting to grow. You see, endurance. You see, and it's pushing us through. It makes us press in. Faith does. So when we're coming into this year and we see some things and we might not agree with some things, but faith will help us grow. And so I'm saying this at the start of a year, very basic, but it's like we will meet some things in this year that we will need faith for us to press through and to see some changes. Yeah. It will develop and shape and form our godly nature and character. Like, you look at things differently once you've been through something. It changes how you see stuff. It makes you appreciate life a lot better. It's like you identify with other people that have gone through some hard things. See, I know what it's like to lose a son. Talk to Ben and Bex. Suddenly they understand what it means. And then you meet somebody else and you say, yeah, I've been there. And you don't have to say a lot. Bang, you identify, you know, and you make a connection. You might have been through some drug problems, some prison problems, some financial problems, some whatever problems. It's like, and you've overcome, and it's like you have a testimony now. You see life different, and you can talk to somebody because you've actually applied faith. It's very simple, this, but when we sit down and look at some things, it's like, okay, this is what I need. Faith causes us to hold on to our belief in God's word through trials. This strengthens our confidence and our hope in God. It strengthens it. For some people who don't have a relationship, they throw it away. They say, no, life's too hard. Church did this and God didn't come through. He said He'd come through and whatever. It's like, did you apply faith? Did you believe what the scripture said? Or did you just want God to do everything for you? See, faith. Let's just get the musicians to come, and got a heap of other stuff here. I don't know why I put so much stuff down. I thought this is really simple. I said to Nikki, I've got a really simple word. Just got one passage of scripture. I'm going to do this really quick today. You see, our mission statement is invite, impart, empower. And we need to walk with one another. We need to invite people to come and experience Jesus. To come into this thing of faith and encountering God and God's love. Can I just read this last thing? I'm going to jump a whole lot of stuff. It says in verse 5, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with this love. I mean, that when I read that, that just encourages my heart, and I want to cry now. Our hope is this, that God will not disappoint. It's like, because of God's love, that He's wanting to fill our hearts with everything that is Him. And He's saying, you know, I've given you my Holy Spirit, and He's going to fill your hearts with my love. My love. You know, when you go through something really hard, and you have these people that just come around and they just say, mate, and they just walk with you and they say, mate, I just love you and appreciate you. It's like you feel inside that, you know, this belief and this comfort and this reassurance that only love can get. When somebody just, there's nothing on this earth that can be compared to when God just fills your heart with His love and says, you know, I believe in you. When His love just comes around you, regardless of what you're going through, it's like, there's nothing. It's like, it's so fulfilling. It's like, this is what I live for. It's like, why isn't life like this all the time? And yet God says, well, I want it to be. I want you to be in every boat and every storm and be sound asleep. I want you to walk right through when they want to stone you. Right through the midst of everything. I want you to have this confidence in me. It seems a wee bit out there. It just takes faith. To actually believe and to let some of the stuff sit in their heart and to let it sit in their spirit. And when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us. I don't care what you go through, God comes at just the right time and says, you know, I died for you.